Welcome to Neuse River Foundation's website. My name is Dean Nyacks. I'm the Upper Neuse River Keeper. I work for Neuse River Foundation, and I hope you'll take a moment to view this PowerPoint presentation that was recently shown at the Neuse River Keeper Film Festival earlier this year. Next. My duty as river keeper is to maintain an on-river presence, basically patrolling the river, identifying pollution sources, reviewing permits, and identifying policies that are detrimental to water quality, basically working to enforce environmental laws and regulations, specifically the Federal Clean Water Act, the North Carolina Sedimentation Pollution Control Act. And really, a bulk of the work that I do is making sure that the regulatory agencies are actually enforcing those laws and regulations. My duty as well is to provide a strong voice for the river, as well as we have a citizen watch for the river. We engage a lot of citizens in investigation, education, and routine patrols to help us with the work that we do. We have a volunteer Air Force that's been instrumental in documenting pollution problems from North Carolina hog farms, which we recently just won a major settlement against Smithfield Foods. 275 hog farms in eastern North Carolina now have to put pollution controls in place as a result of the work that we do and the efforts of citizens getting involved in our work. Next. The Neuse River Basin is roughly 6,100 square miles. I'm based in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I patrol the river from Raleigh, from the headwaters in Raleigh, down to Goldsboro. Larry Baldwin, the Lower Neuse River Keeper, is based in New Bern, and he patrols the river from Goldsboro down to the Pamlico Sound. And together, we provide fairly good coverage of the entire river basin. We work on issues together, and very few river basins in the country have this basin-wide coverage from top to bottom that we have here on the Neuse River. Next. In the past, we've seen major fish kills in the Neuse River. In the early 1990s, we saw upwards of hundreds of millions. If not, we've heard some estimates over a billion fish have died in the lower Neuse River as a result of pollution problems, primarily nutrients from sewage treatment plants, agricultural runoff, fertilizers from people's lawns, as well as hog farms, have all contributed to pollution in the lower Neuse. As you can see, we've had a lot of fish with open, ulcerated, bleeding sores. And unfortunately, this problem hasn't gone away. While the conditions of the river have improved, we're still seeing this type of problem in the lower Neuse Basin. This was taken in September 2004, where we experienced roughly 10 to 20 million dead fish in the lower Neuse Basin. Next. A lot of people have asked me, where do you get your authority from? You don't work for the state, you don't work for the government. So where do you get your authority? And that's true. I am a citizen just like you. But the Federal Clean Water Act, when it was created in 1972, gave citizens the authority to hold municipalities and industry accountable to maintain the goals of the Federal Clean Water Act, which are basically to restore, maintain the chemical, physical, and biological integrity of the nation's waters. And that's exactly what we do. Under the most egregious cases, citizens can actually sue polluters to enforce compliance with environmental laws and regulations, collect fines to pay for river restoration and other environmental benefits, can challenge permits, contest permits. There's a lot of opportunities for citizens to get involved in addressing pollution problems in waterways, and this authority is given to us under the Federal Clean Water Act, and that's what river keepers, base keepers, sound keepers all around the country use to maintain the goals of the act and work to clean up our nation's waters. And this, the Federal Clean Water Act, has been a very, very effective tool for us to do this. And we get trained quite extensively in this area. Next. For example, when I first became the Neuse River Keeper, one of the first major issues I dealt with was we uncovered about 20 violations at Raleigh Sewage Treatment Plant. And I think this emphasizes the importance of why citizens need to be involved in clean water issues. Here was a public utilities department that was unwilling to even admit that they even had a problem at their plant. The end result is that more than $40 million end up being spent on Raleigh Sewage Treatment Plant to make significant upgrades. The sewage treatment plant operator was fired. And really, this is the largest discharge in the Neuse River Basin. So this was a significant benefit for the Neuse River. But again, if citizens hadn't gotten involved in this issue and taken a lead role and held the city of Raleigh basically accountable toward maintaining the goals of the Federal Clean Water Act, none of this would have been possible. So citizens are absolutely crucial to cleaning up our nation's waters. And again, the river keepers around the country have been trained extensively in this area and how to take a lead role in this. Next, a really good example of this occurred earlier this year in January of 2006. We caught the City of Raleigh's water treatment plant, which discharges into a small tributary that flows directly into Falls Lake, which is a drinking water supply for 400,000 Wake County citizens. As you can see by the picture, we found the stream to be highly discolored with bacteria and algae growth that was not normally occurring in the stream at all, indicated that there was discharges, releases from the water treatment plant. And this is something I'd been working on for about 4 years. We actually, in 2002, discovered sludge discharges, excess chlorine and other chemicals like potassium permanganate that's used in the treatment of drinking water being discharged into the stream. The end result is the City of Raleigh agreed to spend $3.25 million to eliminate this discharge to Falls Lake. And this was a big victory for Falls Lake, a big victory for the organization, and basically just everybody who depends on drinking water in Falls Lake and downstream in Raleigh. And over the years, Neuse River Foundation has been successful in eliminating about 10 pipes from the river, and this is just one of the most recent ones. Next, and as you can see, these are some highly unusual. This is, you know, white sulfur bacteria that is occurring in the stream as a result of discharges from the plant. Next, one of the biggest issues that we worked on since I've been here as riverkeeper is the town of Butner in 2004 attempted the largest pollution trade ever proposed in U.S. waters to transfer 6,100 pounds of nitrogen more than 250 miles up the Neuse River and discharge 61,130 pounds of nitrogen into Falls Lake, which again is a significant drinking water supply for 400,000 Wake County citizens. Not only did we feel that this would violate the Federal Clean Water Act because there's already pollution problems occurring in Falls Lake, but we felt very strongly that citizens would not tolerate this once they were aware of it. And we ended up getting about 1,000 citizens, state legislators, the City of Raleigh, Town of Rollsville, Wake Forest, Kinston, New Bern, municipalities all down the river saying, we're not going to allow a municipality to transfer pollution upstream from us and discharge it into our drinking water or upstream from our drinking water intake. And we ended up defeating this plan in 2005. This was a big victory for us. And again, it just highlights the importance of why citizens need to be involved in protecting their local waterways and why the Riverkeeper program is such a fast-growing movement. We have 155 keepers worldwide. I think a lot of people just identify with the fact that you need somebody out there patrolling the waters, reviewing these permits, and keeping an eye on what's going on in the river basin. And that way, when there is an issue like this, you have an opportunity to engage citizens to stand up and take action on an important issue like this. Next. One of the things that came out of this whole Butner issue and the fact that Falls Lake was being threatened is it brought a lot of attention to not only Falls Lake, but other large reservoirs, drinking water reservoirs around the state, and really how inadequate the state has been in terms of protecting these drinking water supplies. I worked with Raleigh Mayor Charles Meeker on protecting Falls Lake by identifying critical stream corridors that flow into Falls Lake and all the reservoirs above Falls Lake, Lake Mickey, Little River Reservoir, Lake Butner, all the major reservoirs in the entire Upper Neuse watershed, and basically working to identify critical lands and working to protect those lands, working with local land trusts and local governments. And this was just an idea at the time, but it was an idea at the right time considering there was a lot of focus on Falls Lake. And really, you know, the city now has invested almost $2 million into this plan. The Clean Water Management Trust Fund has invested over $1 million. Wake County is likely to invest a couple million. And this plan is just getting started. It's going to take about 10 years or so to do this, but significant effort is now being made to protect water quality in Falls Lake and all the drinking water supplies upstream. In addition to that, some very important legislation got passed called the Safe Drinking Water Protection Act, and we helped draft some of that legislation. We worked on that issue extensively. And so, unfortunately, the newspapers just tend to cover a lot of the controversy, but they often don't cover the important good follow-up work that comes out of this. One of the good things that came out of this, and one of the things that we demanded in the public hearings, was that Falls Lake Not only should this pollution trading scheme be defeated, but there should be a pollution reduction strategy called the TMDL, Total Maximum Daily Load, to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus loading in Falls Lake. And we won on that front, and that plan is now in place. I'm part of the Falls Lake Technical Advisory Committee that's working to implement a pollution reduction strategy for Falls Lake. So this was a very, very big victory for us, and it really provided a lot of benefit to Falls Lake and all the reservoirs upstream in the Upper Neuse Basin. Next. One of the other big issues we work on is sedimentation. Sediment is the nation's number one water pollution problems, and we see this all over. North Carolina is a very rapidly growing state. Wake County alone is expected to see an additional 500,000 people move into the area in the next 20 years. So it's going to have a profound impact on water quality in the Neuse River Basin. Next. One of the things that we're focused on for 2007 is a project called Muddy Water Watch. And we developed this project working with the Upper Chattahoochee River Keeper in Atlanta, Georgia, which is another rapidly growing part of the Southeast. And the whole idea is to work with river keepers all over the state of North Carolina, like they did in Georgia, to train citizens to go out and identify sedimentation violations. And the slide that you're looking at now is a violation. As you can see, the silt fencing has collapsed. Sediment has run off-site into the road. It's running down into the storm drain, which runs directly into the rivers and streams. And this is a big problem. It gets in the gills of fish, it covers mussels, all the aquatic life in the stream. It carries additional pollutants into our rivers and streams. As a result of this, a lot of people just tend to look at it as it's just dirt. But in reality, this is a very, very serious problem. And this is something that we're doing, is working again with citizens to enforce environmental laws, specifically the North Carolina Sedimentation Pollution Control Act. And that's a big project that we're working on in 2007 if we get adequate funding to do it. Next. Another big issue I've been dealing with here recently is PCB contamination from Ward Transformer in Lake Crabtree and Briar Creek Reservoir. And Lake Crabtree Park is used by about 300,000 people per year. Unfortunately, it's polluted with PCBs, as is Crabtree Creek, which is farther downstream, which flows all the way to the Neuse River right through the middle of Raleigh. And this is a big problem for this area. This is the state's largest Superfund site. We're very concerned. I was appointed by Mayor Charles Meeker to serve on the PCB task force to really go after this issue. We were successful in getting the 11-acre Ward Transformer site cleaned up. We were successful in getting the potentially responsible parties to step up, come to some type of settlement agreement with the Environmental Protection Agency, and develop a plan to clean up the Ward Transformer site. Unfortunately, the downstream water bodies, which are still show some signs of contamination, as well as the fish, are contaminated with PCBs and unedible, still is a big concern to a lot of elected officials, as well as citizens living in Wake County and further downstream. So this is something that we're probably going to be working on here over the next 2-3 years, really trying to get greater accountability to make sure that these downstream water bodies are cleaned up. Next. And as you can see, there are fish consumption advisories on Crabtree Lake. This fish consumption advisory has been extended all the way down to Lake Crabtree. And, you know, this is a resource that's basically been stolen from Wake County citizens. You know, this is something that Lake Crabtree was created by Wake County commissioners, and Wake County citizens paid money into creating this park for the sole purpose, not the sole purpose, but one of the major reasons was to make this a recreational fishing lake, so that urban children could come fish in Lake Crabtree, catch a fish, and bring it home for the family dinner. And this is something that has been stolen from Wake County citizens because of this contamination. If we don't address this problem, PCB contaminated fish are likely to remain in this lake probably for the next 20 to 50 years if we don't solve this problem now. So this is something that Neuse River Foundation is very concerned about. And unfortunately, it does not appear that anybody else is really going to work on this issue unless we take this issue on. The PCB task force has since been suspended, disbanded, and it's a concern to us that little effort is being made to address this downstream just contamination just because it seems like a problem that's too large to address. Next. One of my favorite projects that we started about 4 years ago was called the Annual Neuse River Spring Cleanup. And it's usually the first weekend of April every year. It's a one-day event We clean up 62 river miles. We have roughly 8 to 10 check-in stations, although that's growing because we're expanding the cleanup into Crabtree Creek. But in the last 4 years alone, we've removed about 53,000 pounds of trash from all the access points and all the areas in the river for 50 miles down below Falls Dam, all the way down to Smithfield, and then there's some areas in Kinston that we're starting to clean up as well. And just last year, in 2006, we had 301 people turn out. We cleaned up 21,260 pounds of trash. We removed 2 cars. And this has just been a tremendous community event. We've gotten a lot of support from all sorts of groups, municipalities, a lot of civic groups, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, as well as church groups participating in this event. And it's been a great event. And we just continue to expand it every year because people are interested in coming out and taking better care of the river. Next. One of the main reasons I wanted to put this PowerPoint presentation on our website is because we recently did this trip down the Neuse River this past spring called Tour de Neuse, starting on April 7th. And it was about a 3-week trip. And if you want all the journals and pictures and information, we've been in video on our website at neuseriver.org, can be seen. But this is some of the pictures that we took along the way, and it was a great event. It was just basically a reason for us to get out on the river, paddle the entire length. We ended up paddling 232 miles combined and ended up covering 270 miles of the river out to Pamlico Sound. And it was just a wonderful event, raised a lot of awareness. Basically every newspaper, every media outlet covered this event the entire way down the river basin, brought a lot of positive attention to the river, showed a lot of wonderful images of the river. We had various elected officials, both Republican and Democrat, come out and paddle with us. We had ministers come out and paddle with us. We met with school children. And just the response was overwhelming. Basically, people continuously told us, please take care of this river. It needs attention. So, you know, up and down the river basin, we continuously heard people that wanted us to continue this effort to bring attention to the river, take care of it. And in addition to that, we were able to get people to sponsor us as we paddled down, so we're able to raise some money for this event too. And here's some of the images that we saw along the way. Next, we started up at West Point on the Eno River. Eno and the Flat River form to form the Neuse River, which flows into Falls Lake. Falls Lake is 22 miles long, and then it's about 250 miles down to Pamlico Sound. And this was the first day of the event. We had a great turnout of people. Next. Basically, Larry started up on the Eno River. I started up on the Flat River. And because this was kind of the symbolic gesture of coming together at the headwaters of the Neuse River where the Neuse River starts, or originally started before Falls Lake was there. And here's a map of that. Next. This picture here is of Gerald Thacker. Now, Gerald Thacker is a farmer that lives up near Lake Mickey, up on the Flat River. He never considered himself an environmentalist, and he never supported an environmental group his entire life. Never thought he needed to. He farmed off, lived off his land basically, until a nursery next door, as it expanded, started to send a lot of sediment and mud into his ponds that he'd been maintaining, catching fish out of and eating for many, many years. And it really affected his quality of life. He really became concerned when he contacted the regulatory agencies to stop this problem. The regulators told him, well, there's basically nothing we can do about it. Why don't you give the Neuse River Keeper a call? So he ended up giving me a call, and we've been working with him ever since, getting him legal advice and everything that we could do to help him address this problem. But basically, what I didn't know is when I told Gerald that I was going to do this tour de Neuse, he was very thrilled because back in 1946, when Gerald was 13 years old, he and his 11-year-old friend had their own journey down the Neuse River, which was much greater than ours. Basically, it was an odyssey that lasted 11 weeks. He told his daddy it would take him about a week to paddle down the river. They ended up stealing some wood from the local sawmill, scraping some tar off the roads. They built their own raft, brought 4 fishing poles, a .22 Stevens rifle, and 1 change of clothes for 11 weeks. And they ended up heading down the Neuse, and they got caught in flood stage, and they ended up raiding gardens and eating chickens along the way and shooting squirrels and snakes and eating them as well and catching fish. But he just said he had a wonderful journey, and he ended up down in New Bern almost 11 weeks later. So I thought that was kind of a funny story. And Gerald was just very thrilled to see us off on the tour de Neuse and be one of the first people to sponsor us for the tour. Next. This next picture was after the first day of paddle. The reason we're flexing muscle here is because, you know, we started developing this itinerary. We figured that the spring flows with all the heavy rain would just carry us right down to the Pamlico Sound with no problem. Little did we know we'd be in a major state of drought throughout that winter and into the early spring. So we ended up having to drag our kayaks for miles and miles and miles across rocky flats in the river bottom that was basically dry and puddled in some areas. So it was first couple days of the tour was very, very difficult. Next, this is camping at Falls Lake at Shinleaf Campground at night. And we took advantage of camping opportunities when we had the chance. Obviously, it was a little difficult in the Raleigh area, but we still had a great time. Next, this is a map of Falls Lake, 22 miles long. Next, this is day two of the tour. And basically, Larry Baldwin and Bill Ola, board member of News River Foundation, myself, ended up running into outrageous wind and heavy rains and thunder and lightning. It was the first 3 days of the tour were very, very difficult. Next, just some additional pictures up on Falls Lake. Next, day three of the tour started improving somewhat, but it was still very, very windy, very difficult for us to paddle. Next, but just some beautiful rocky outcrops. And again, you'll see as this journey goes on, the way the river changes as we head from the Piedmont, North Carolina, down into the coastal floodplain. Next, just some wildlife that we saw along the way on various parts of the tour. Next, this is the lower end of Falls Lake, and this is the intake for Raleigh and seven other municipalities in Wake County. And basically, this is a straw for 400,000 people. And again, it just to emphasize how important it is to make sure that water quality in this lake is protected and maintained. It really is the economic driver for the entire region over the next 20, 30 years. It's something that we have to maintain if we're going to grow economically. Next, this is the lower end of Falls Lake, looking back up the lake. Right as I crossed this section, I saw a bald eagle fly overhead, so I knew things were starting to pick up a little bit and hopefully improve. The first 3 days, as I indicated, were pretty tough. Next, it's a map of from Falls Dam down to Pool Road. Next, and this is day four of the tour. We opened the tour up to the public. We had a turnout of about 11 people came out. A nice family came out. And, you know, the father of this family and I discussed at length, you know, the concerns that he had that, you know, the opportunities for kids nowadays are just not there for them to get out and recreate and paddle on the rivers. Part of it's safety, but a lot of it's pollution related. And people, kids in general, don't have the opportunities that I think a lot of older people used to have, at least I used to have when I was a kid. Next, and again, these are just some of the images of the river. Just, you know, the kids had a fun time. This is Frank LeBron, who has another citizen who's worked with me on addressing pollution problems at Raleigh's water treatment plant. He's the first one that identified these problems with me. So some of these relationships are lasting, and people just really, I think, appreciate the work that we do to protect the river and come out and enjoy it like this. Next, these are some anglers that we met on day five of the tour. Next, this is Les and Dan. I was able to stop and do a little fishing with them, had a good time. Next, this is a sewage outfall, unfortunately, and it appears to me that this sewage outfall is out of compliance based on all the green algae that you see growing on the rocks here. Next, this is the home of David and Marcia Deans and their daughter, who ended up coming out to paddle with me on the leg of the tour. And they've been great participants in our Neuse River spring cleanup. They organized their community to participate in cleaning up this stretch of the Neuse River. Next. And as you can see, as we paddled with them, we really were right at the end of the day, and they graciously paddled with me until about 9:30 that night. Next. We ended up having a full moon paddle. Luckily, it was the light of the full moon helped us as we made our way down the dark river. But I was just very impressed that they ended up coming with me. It was very enjoyable to have them on the tour. This is from Pool Road down to Smithfield. Next, this is day six of the tour. And you see there's still a lot of rocky outcrops here on the upper Neuse. Next, just some areas right here below Pool Road. Next, basically this is day seven of the tour from Auburn, Knightdale Road down to Clayton. Next, this is Council Member Tommy Craven, Raleigh City Council member who ended up joining me for the tour. We've worked together on certain issues, and he grew up paddling was in the Boy Scouts and just wanted to come out and support Neuse River Foundation and just spend some time on the water with us as we headed our way, headed downriver. Next, this is the discharge from Raleigh Sewage Treatment Plant. And Tommy's a brave soul for getting in there, but again, as I emphasize, we ended up getting the plant to spend about $40 million in upgrades. So I do feel pretty confident that the effluent coming out of this plant is pretty good now. But keep in mind, they release about 50 million gallons per day into the river. That's a significant load to the river. Johnson County and communities downstream who depend on the Neuse River for drinking water, it's just absolutely critical that Raleigh is treating their waste properly and discharging clean effluent back into the river. And again, Neuse River Foundation was instrumental in making that happen. Next, green heron that we saw along the way. Next, just some of the rocky outcrops that we see along the way down as we're getting towards Smithfield. Next. This is Tour de Neuse Day 9, Smithfield Commons. This is called the Neuse Low Grounds or the Letlones or the Neuse Islands. There's many names for it, but basically once you get below Smithfield, go below I-95, you basically have about 25 miles of roadless wilderness. This is one of my favorite sections of the river. It's very remote. There's really no houses down through this section. And the floodplain is more than 5 miles across in some sections, more wider than the Mississippi floodplain. So it is a very unique section of the river. And this is where it really begins to change. The Neuse River leaves the Piedmont. You start seeing a lot more sand. All the rocky outcrops disappear from the river. And you start seeing a lot more of a bottomland, cypress and tupelo trees, that sort of thing. So it really changes significantly over this last 10 miles. Next. And again, children playing in the river, certainly not suspecting that there's any pollution problems in the river, not really thinking much of it. I certainly didn't when I was a kid. So again, it's just very important that upstream dischargers and us as a society make sure that the river's being maintained to be clean and healthy. Next, we ended up getting some rain on this, and this is Charles Wilson, who ended up joining me, a minister who joined me on the tour. And we have some video up on the website you might want to check out about his interview. Next, some barrels of trash that we saw along the way. And unfortunately, this is where our cleanup ends. This is a remote section that we can't really access because it's such a long stretch to the next takeout point. And not surprisingly, we started seeing a lot more trash once we got below where the cleanup has been over the last 4 years. And we're hoping to, at some point, expand it into this section, but we're going to need a lot of resources to do that. Next. This is, again, day 10 of Tour de Neuse, down through the Neuse Islands. This is Charles Wilson who joined me. And again, that's one of the great things about this tour is that people just ended up joining me along the way, paddling with us over the course of the tour. We had over 60 people paddle with us. Next, this is some cypress as we get down into Wayne County, excuse me. And just this is one of my favorite sections of the river. It's, again, pretty remote. It's above Goldsboro. Next. This is my daughter, Krista, who ended up joining us for a little section of the tour. And needless to say, she was a little frustrated when we had to take her out of the kayak and pull the paddle out of her hand. But she did enjoy her time on the water. And as you can see, all the cypress and Spanish moss hanging down the background of the river is definitely changing quite a bit. Next, just some nice images of the river with some cypress, Spanish moss. Next. I really like this image because it shows a father and son fishing. Again, this is a tradition that's been handed down. My father taught me how to fish, and I will teach my daughter how to fish. And this is something that's just handed down generation after generation. But again, going back to the PCB contamination of Crabtree Creek and the pollution problems historically in the Neuse River, this is something that has been taken from this generation and future generations, and I think it's something that we really need to make a major effort to reverse if we're going to hope that our children are able to fish and teach our grandchildren how to fish. We have to provide clean, healthy water, fresh water ecosystems where fish can thrive and be healthy. Next. This is day 11. This is Alan Briggs, who ended up joining us, native of the Goldsboro area. He was great to have along. He owns his own little kayaking company. Just a great guy to have. He knew all about the river. He was very passionate about seeing it protected. And again, he emphasized to us that future generations remember when the river used to run clear, that the fish were safe to eat. And when he was a kid, he saw that to begin to change. He saw the local governments and the state government telling them not to eat fish out of the river. And it was a real concern for him. And so he's has children of his own now, and he's just very concerned about, you know, what type of, you know, river are we leaving his children and my children. And he was just great to have along for the tour. Next. It's a little stretch down through this little cut through, that man-made cut through that kind of cuts a little portion of the Neuse River off. We ended up paddling down through it because we'd never been on that section before. Next. This is Goldsboro's water treatment plant intake. And again, it really, Goldsboro depends very heavily on upstream Johnson County, Wake County, Raleigh, making sure that what they're putting in the river is clean. And I don't think in the past that we've done a good job of that. And, you know, just like the town of Butner, where we defended Falls Lake and prevented them from increasing pollution in our drinking water supply, we have an obligation to make sure Goldsboro's drinking water supply is maintained as well. Next. This is basically 130 miles downstream. This is in Goldsboro. It's really the only bar located on the river. And I assure you that after 2 weeks of paddling over 100 miles, you're basically ready to sit down and have a beer. And this is Kim, the bartender, who grew up in this area, who's caught, according to her, a 46-pound catfish in the Neuse River. So she was very familiar with the river. And one of the great things about this, once people in the bar started figuring out who we were, people started coming up to us, telling us stories about Hurricane Fran and Floyd and their connection to the river and experiences they had. And it was just very interesting to just kind of sit in here and talk to the locals about the river and what we were trying to do to bring attention to the river. Every single person there supported us in doing that. Every single person. Next, this is Cliffs of the Neuse State Park. Just a beautiful area, 150-foot cliffs on the river. Very unusual for the coastal plain. Again, most of the elevations in the coastal plain are 60 to 150, 200 feet above sea level at the most. So it's very unusual to have 150-foot cliffs in this area. Next. This is the town of Seven Springs, which is located right on the river. Very small town, but the town itself, a third of the town ended up coming out to, you know, have some fun with us on the river. They threw us a pot dinner, and as you can see, it was like a Civil War reenactment, basically, but we ended up having just a delicious meal of the town. The mayor of the town ended up baking us two cakes, and we just had a really enjoyable time on the river and celebrating with all these people who just live right on the river. Obviously, we got a lot of support from people who just wanted to see us be successful in protecting the river, and some of these are former poultry farm operators. People that you would just never guess would be that supportive of, you know, making sure that the river's protected. Next. This is Cowpen Landing, and this is not far above New Bern. And, you know, this is getting down to the lower stretch, and as you can see, the river's beginning to widen. Just a beautiful, calm stretch in the morning here. And again, some of the people that we interviewed in this stretch and others upstream, you know, we asked them, you know, do you consider yourself environmentalists? Some of them said no. But is taking care of the river important to you? Every single one of them said yes. And again, these are the people that we represent. You know, a lot of these people are not politically active. They don't get out and vote necessarily or participate in county and local government. They don't support environmental groups. But taking care of the river was very, very important to them. And we continued to hear that down the entire stretch of the river. So these are the people that we represent, not necessarily through membership, although we would love that support, but they really do appreciate the work that we're doing to protect the river. So the whole trip was just absolutely rewarding in terms of meeting people that, you know, might not traditionally support environmental issues per se, but really do care about protecting the river. Next. And you can see the river really is beginning to change here. This is where we're getting into cypress swamps and everything like that. Again, this is right above New Bern, maybe 10 miles above New Bern. Next. This is a section called the Gut. It was a small channel of the Neuse River that goes around this very long island called Hog Island. And on this particular section, the guy that you see here, Bill Sadler, and I came across two giant alligators. One was about 10 to 12 foot. The other one was roughly 10 foot. And it was very, very interesting. I'd been hearing about alligators on the Neuse River for the 5 years I've been doing this job. I'd never seen one. And it was very interesting to come across two giant alligators the first time I'd ever encountered one. Next. This is the final paddle day of the tour, where we rolled into New Bern. We had 29 paddlers ended up joining us and paddling into New Bern with us. Next. This is Rick Dove's boat, the former Neuse River keeper, president of Neuse River Foundation. And this is his waterkeeper boat, and that's his dog, Kimba. And he's been a great advocate for the river and great mentor to both Larry and I in becoming Neuse River keepers on the Neuse River. Next, this is Mayor Tom Bayless of New Bern, who is a big supporter of Neuse River Foundation. And Mayor Bayless was around during the time of the major fish kills throughout the 90s and saw firsthand how detrimental pollution problems in Neuse River were having effects on the local economy. He saw the real estate values drop, local beaches were being closed, people weren't recreating on the water, people were not coming here for vacations. And so he recognized immediately that taking care of the river was good for the economy of New Bern. And he has been a loyal supporter of ours ever since. And it's just been wonderful having him as an ally. And again, New Bern ended up joining us in opposing that pollution trading scheme, which was a great thing to have that support from local municipalities. Next, this is the last day of the tour. We ended up taking a boat the final 40 miles because for most people who aren't familiar with the Lower Neuse is more than 6 miles across at the mouth of the river. It's the widest mouth of any river in the lower 48 United States. So paddling out to the middle of this is not recommended. And the wind conditions were pretty strong, so we ended up just taking a boat out on the final stretch. But we felt obligated to jump in the drink to commemorate our tour, our final paddle down the Tour de Neuse. And it was great. It was a little chilly, of course. Next, this is Larry and I celebrating our final leg of the tour. And again, it was a lot of work. It was just very, very rewarding to meet all these people along the way. Next. And I would encourage you, if you enjoyed our Tour de Neuse, there's a lot more information on our website. Go to www.neuseriver.org. That's www.neuseriver.org. That's www.neuseriver.org for Tour de Neuse daily journals, pictures, maps, and video. Again, we just had a great time doing this. It was much more than we thought would ever turn out to be. We greatly appreciate any support that you're all willing to provide to help us in our efforts to protect the Neuse River. Thank you.